I'm Jan Suk Fong Lee.
And I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And this is Can't Lit. Can't Lit. Talk about books and stuff. Okay, fuckers, let's go.
Welcome to Can't Lit. Guess what? It's a podcast.
What?
My butt. Guess what? My butt. Who has a sweaty butt right now?
Me. Swampy. It's swampy.
Do you have a swamp crotch?
Yeah, Jen has a swamp crotch.
We have a very special guest / host today. It's me, Dina. You got Jen. And then we have Daniel Zamparelli. Hi.
Hi.
Daniel, are you?
Hi, Daniel.
Hello from Los Angeles.
I was worried for a second that you just were like, "Fuck this, I'm not sticking around."
We're not talking about swamp crotches on my watch.
Listen, that was the original content for Can't Lit. I'm just glad that nothing's changed.
Literally,
I have to agree. It's been 6 long years of swamp crotches.
And glitter butts.
It. Yeah.
Getting respectable authors to talk about swamp crotch.
I would love if...
Not me.
If,
I'm not respectful.
No. If Rihanna does a Fenty line for sparkle butt makeup, I would love to be... Like, please sponsor us.
I mean, I'm going to go Rihanna is here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's very exciting.
All this new toner. I was super happy.
Me too. I mean, we can all agree Rihanna is great.
The best. My one true.
I don't believe in like billionaires, but I do hope she becomes a billionaire.
She's my one true leader, was what I was going to say. She's the only one.
She is a true leader. Agree.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, what's important is within 2 minutes, we talked about swamp crotch, Rihanna, butt makeup, just everything that's important, sweaty butts. And that is how you make a podcast. Okay, everybody?
All right, we're done. Bye.
You know what? Our work here is done. It's the miniest mini episode of all time. Enjoy. Holy. So does anyone want to say what's happening or talk about what's going on? It's been a spell.
Since we've all chatted. I did start writing a new novel, which I think might have caused the pandemic.
Ooh. I started one, so I'm hoping to end the pandemic with it.
Yeah, is that how
when
you
did you
end
start
it?
Writing this novel?
Have to do this?
Yeah, it's the Jumanji.
I started writing the novel. Okay, wait. I wrote the outline, I think, in April. And then, okay, I guess I didn't start the pandemic. But I've been only actually
it's
writing
not your
content,
fault.
Like the actual words. It's not my fault. I only started writing the words like 3 weeks ago. So it's like brand new. And okay. Yeah.
So you
like,
didn't
I can't
start
tell
it
you
at
what...
all?
Well, no, I didn't. But like I did say before the pandemic, I was going to write a new novel. So I think that might have started it. The world was just like, the universe was just like, we already told you, Jen, your books sell moderately poorly. So you got to stop.
I do remember this tweet that was publishing. What do you think that you did that caused the pandemic? Because like everyone has like one thing that they did right before it.
Yeah.
And it's like I bought a t-shirt and I specifically said I was going to stop buying clothes for a while. And then I gave in and bought this, the t-shirt I'm actually wearing right now. And then it happened and I was like, well, great. Now I can't even wear this fucking t-shirt.
Daniel, Daniel, you bought a plain black t-shirt.
Oh, not this t-shirt. Sorry, the t-shirt I was wearing before.
Oh, the other one was cute.
I bought an olive green t-shirt.
Yeah, we've already had a bit of a fashion show here, so it's been pretty exciting. Don't be jealous. So Jen's writing. I actually feel like all three of us have been writing, which is kind of funny.
Has that ever happened before, that all three of us are writing at the same time?
It probably has, but it's also funny because I think so many people, other writers, are feeling like they're not working on anything. And here we are just bragging like fucking dicks. About...
I don't know. I feel like there's so many writers writing because it's like, what else?
There are two.
You're like forced. I don't know. I have like a forced guilt about it where I'm like, well, okay, well, if I can't like see my friends, I'm going to at least just work really hard until this is over. So that way I can like hopefully sell something and then get to see my friends more so.
Yeah, I guess like, you know, part of writing this novel, the novel that I'm writing is a lot of like my deepest fears on a page. So like maybe this is just what I'm doing to like remember that there are also other scary things in the world other than the world that we're living in. Maybe. I don't know. It's therapy, I guess.
I mean, I kind of feel the same way. I wrote a long poem a few months ago that I worked on, and then I also was dipping into writing notes for a novel and then writing some short stories. And so I feel like all of that I wouldn't have done if I'd actually been my usual self, which is fucking around all the time with other people. And I've said this before, like the reason I am not more productive or the reason I don't write when I'm not writing is 100% because I'm socializing. Like, I know what I'd rather be doing.
I mean, yeah. I have, yeah, I don't care. Socializing is on, I don't care. People suck.
Yeah, I obviously also don't socialize as much as Dina, no. But I'm just not used to, like, we're like clearly in like a little bit of different situations where in LA the cases are still so high and keep just increasing. So just out of safety, even when stuff opened up, we just have not done anything or not. We've seen a total of 2 friends over the past 7 months. Yeah. So it's like a whole new form of isolation that I'm like, it's not overwhelming to me. It's very lonely for sure, but it's definitely like not what, I don't know, whatever distracts me from writing is usually like just not wanting to write in the first place. So I don't, now I just, it's to me, the only thing that's keeping me going is like a guilt. Yeah. It's like I have the time to do so. There's nothing else I could be doing if I ever in other times of my life wanted to write but couldn't and didn't have time, then it's like, fine, I'm just gonna push it all into this time so that way I can like once again just like fuck off once this pandemic is over and hopefully like bank on that work.
Yeah. Hopefully. I do feel like, yeah. The only people that Oscar and I see are like his friends and some of his friends and their families, because he was having such a tough time isolating.
Right.
He had like meltdowns every day and it was really hard. So then when we could see a couple of people, it was his friends, which means I haven't seen any of my friends because I'm still trying to keep it contained in some ways. And I do often think that like the writing is like my only real adult interaction that I get to choose. So there it is.
It's really interesting to me because until really, I feel like the end of June, I guess I did go to work, but I wasn't like hanging out with the people I work with. And that's not necessarily, you know, my social circle. And so I didn't really actually start spending real time with anybody until the end of June, really, when it got nice again. And the only person I hang out with is like one friend that I actually spend time with. And I feel like I was really jealous because I was constantly seeing like people with other people. And I was like, am I just not good enough to be endangering you with my droplets? Like, that's rude. But other people have like commitments or family or whatever. And like, I don't have any of that here. So I was like, you're all liars. Yeah. You're all acting like you're not seeing anyone, but you're just like hanging out in your yards because you live near each other. You fucking pricks. Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's weird. I'm fine now.
I mean,
come October, I'm going to be a real fucking nightmare.
Yay! The only good thing about this pandemic is my mom has been oddly cheerful, and I don't know why. It's like her whole life she's been waiting for this moment to really shine, and here she is.
So funny.
She's like so pleasant, and I'm like, what the hell, man? Like I saw her. I've only seen her twice, and I've seen her in her yard. I saw her on Mother's Day, and then I saw her another day. And she's just like handing out $50 bills, and then she said to me, literally said to me, you're so pretty. Have you always been pretty? And I was like, who is in your body right now, mother? Like, I don't even understand.
Listen, I know none of you want to do this, but if any listeners would like to, I've suggested this before, make some segment theme songs. I would love for there to be one about updates on Jen's mom. Because I think it would be so great. I love Jen's mom updates. It's like when we used to get Daniel's dad updates and they would just be like, yeah, he went to the casino, and be like, yeah, that is cool.
He is on the opposite end, pretty miserable because he hasn't been going to the casino.
Yeah, casino's not open.
Well, he hasn't been having his sweet little rendezvous with my mom, which
maybe that's why she's happy.
she's finally figured out a way to get rid of him. Took a global pandemic.
Daniel, don't say that. That is the love story of our time.
I think my dad's like actually like he's, yeah, I think my dad's like not miserable. Like, I think because he enjoys being alone, so it's like he's fine. Like, he's no different. He's annoyed that he can't go to the casino, but that's about it. And he's mad at me because I don't call ever. And when I've tried, he didn't answer. So I was like, that's fine.
Oh, that's so funny. So Daniel.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say my mom did get mad at me because she bought 20 pounds of blueberries, which is a lot of blueberries. Like 20 pounds is a lot. And I didn't want any. So she did hang up on me once because I didn't want any of the blueberries.
Oh my God. I mean, I would have taken them.
Well, I'll tell her next time to call you.
I'm not like, I feel like every day, most of the time, all I'm doing is just eating a huge bowl of fruit. As like, that's all I'm eating. Just huge bowls of fruit every day.
Before I mean, it's not a bad thing.
No, it's great. Before we got on this call, I just ate a fuck ton of cherries.
Your butt's going to feel good. Yeah.
I mean, it's already a disaster, so whatever, you know? I mean, we don't have to talk about that, but we can. Because I do want to say that what's happening with me is that yesterday, I got a pap smear and... and just a pelvic exam. But the funny part of it was that I'm got my legs in the stirrups, and the doctor asked me to like scooch forward, and I did, and in doing that I gave myself a Charlie horse, and then I was screaming.
Oh,
because like I basically pulled a muscle in my leg just from being examined. Anyway, super cool story of just me aging, and very just really great. So I guess I should stretch more. That doctor did not have a sense of humor, because I had a lot of jokes for this, and this person was not impressed. Yeah. Oh, was that a beer?
Yeah, I texted Gabe to bring me a beer.
Yay, Gabe.
I love that for you. Shout out, Gabe. Yeah. And so then on the other side of that, last night, I also got a free bike from my friend Bobby, who I love because it is too big for her. That's not true. I'm actually trading her for beer and clothes because we live in a trading economy now. I've never traded more stuff than I have during the pandemic. Yeah. Well, people need stuff and you have stuff and you're just realizing that you don't need it. So I got a bike, but then, yeah, I realized that I didn't have any stuff. So just before this podcast, I took my lunch break and went to the bike shop that's closest to me and was just like, I need all the things. And then I got them. Got a helmet. I got a basket. I got a really expensive bike lock, but not the most expensive bike lock. So here's hoping my bike doesn't get stolen. And for the first time in like 10 years, I rode up a very steep hill.
How did it feel on your butt?
My butt felt okay. My lungs were a little bit upset. They were like, what is wrong with you? And I said, shut it. We're going to figure this out. We're going to make it.
I keep having panics about like breathing.
Yeah.
Anytime I do anything strenuous and I'm like struggling with breathing, I'm like, oh, that's it. I got it.
Yeah. Well, and after I had pneumonia last year, it took me so long for my lungs to start being normal again that now I'm like, well, you could so easily get ruined lungs again. Which is true. But yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, I just go to the beach all the time. Like, I don't really, like, as I said earlier, like, I don't really see a lot of people or friends because no one lives super close to me and I don't have a car. And, but the beach is my friend and I see it almost every day.
That's nice. I do miss being close to the beach.
I've been going swimming like almost every day. It's been really hot, so it's nice to just cool down your body and your brain.
In the ocean, are you swimming?
Yeah, I'm going straight in the ocean.
Nice.
How's that poop index going there?
It's cold. Apparently, it's okay because I don't know why. That's actually, I think because people weren't going out as much earlier because it wasn't nice out. So I think everything's delayed. Like fire season isn't really happening. I did read a statistic today that most of the forest fires in BC, which normally has so many, were man-made because people are camping that don't normally camp and they're shitty at making fires.
Yeah, that's like same with Los Angeles.
Thanks, assholes.
See, I don't normally camp and I'm not camping. So that's my service to forest fires.
I don't own any gear for camping, nor would I know how to do any of those things.
No. I did hear about a campsite.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, the campsite. And on each campsite, they have a kitted out Airstream trailer and you can just rent them. And that sounds really civilized.
No, I'm very into that. Yeah, I'm used to going to like the lake where my family has a place and like staying in a big trailer, like a multi-room trailer. So I'm not a tent person. Daniel, what's going on with you?
Oh. I know we were talking about the writing thing, but it is weird to be writing, and I recently wrote a poem that technically I wrote the poem at the beginning. Maybe this is my I Caused the Pandemic poem. I got very drunk at Disneyland in January and Gabe got sick, so he didn't go, and I had like already booked an overnight hotel for it and they had no return policy. So I'm like, fine, I'll just get so drunk in Disneyland by myself, like a creep. And then I couldn't go on any rides though, because like after 7, it's just like parents going to town on like beers. Like the lineups for the beers were longer than the rides after like 6 or 7. Got very, very drunk, then wrote a poem while like reading Emily Dickinson on my phone.
I love all of this.
Yeah. And then there's the reading series that used to happen in Vancouver called Vine. And they seem to be, I think, doing an anthology. And I really like that person who does it. So I forced myself to fix that poem.
It's a great poem.
So, yeah. So for the first time ever, for the first time in like many, many years, I like wrote and completed and edited a poem willingly to send it away.
I like that you said the first time ever.
That's great. I feel
first
good.
Sorry, first time in many years.
It's very productive. And also it's a good story.
It was just so funny to, like, I mean, Disneyland shows up in the poem, but it was just like very funny to be like truly so drunk by myself at some shitty bar in downtown Disneyland, whatever that is thing. And not talking to anyone, reading Emily Dickinson, and I was like, I got a poem.
All right. We've heard about Daniel's Disneyland poem. We've talked about the beach a little bit. We've talked about sweaty undercarriages.
We also got up so hard in between all this.
Yeah. We took a little break.
You're never going to find out about.
And we had a gossip session. You can subscribe to Jen's secret blog for that. Just kidding.
Ooh, do I have a secret blog?
I mean, I kind of
know. I just was like, wait, what? I'm too lazy to have a secret blog. Oh no, I have a secret Instagram account, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, Daniel's Finsta is super mild, and you're missing out.
Nothing on there.
I love it so much. But what I was going to say is, I mean, we kind of don't really have any. Nothing is going on in the world of Canlit that we can talk about without, I don't know, like getting in trouble or. Nothing that we can talk about.
I don't want to get sued during a pandemic is what I'm saying.
I just don't want my entire career to be destroyed.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all of this. I don't want to get sued during a pandemic. I don't want my career to become shittier than it already is during the pandemic. I also kind of don't want to make new enemies. I feel like I have a good amount.
Yeah.
You want to have that life balance of like friends and enemies. And I feel like I'm in a good place.
And I mean, like, nemesis update. My nemesis continues to be my nemesis, if anyone was wondering.
Oh, yeah, same. I got suggested the other day. I forgot that I had only muted my nemesis on Instagram. And then my nemesis was like, your nemesis is going live. And I was like, ugh, barf. No, don't make those kind of suggestions to me. That is.
I think I saw rude. That too, by the way, from your nemesis.
It was terrible.
My nemesis has become infinitely famous during the pandemic.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the pandemic?
I like can't say anything because it's like also like they're not like a genuine nemesis because it's like we're not even like in similar. We're not similar enough in career or like.
Yeah.
What we create and stuff. But I do have a nemesis that I've decided I have in LA. And then out of nowhere just became the most famous during the pandemic.
We'll be right back. We just need to take another break. Just and we're back. You will not believe what we heard.
Oh.
Daniel's nemesis is Britney Spears' boyfriend. Yeah. Just kidding. They're both angels and I love them.
They're doing their best.
Yeah, I feel like the only thing that we can really talk about is that publisher Ken White wrote about how libraries are terrible for authors. And we all know the only reason that we should be mad at libraries and librarians is because they love transphobic speakers and they love to have like memorials for Nazis and both of those are terrible. Like there are genuinely good reasons to be like libraries could be doing better, but the fact that people are accessing books. It's not really one of them.
Oh, did I?
I think I've nope. We've lost Dina.
Oh, I thought it.
Oh, there she is.
Did you just say libraries could be better and then you were just done with the conversation?
No, but I bet it kept it because I'm telling you, it has, even before I checked some of the other times when we were like, this cut out, and it didn't cut out at all.
Okay, great.
The recording is fine. It's just our connection.
I didn't read the Ken White thing.
It's boring. I didn't read it either. I just literally read everyone's hot takes about it. And I was like, I feel like I know enough. I don't want to click on that. What is this, in the National Post? How much more dollars are they going to give Rex Murphy? Turns out more, because he had another article the other day too.
I don't read any books related shit in the National Post unless it's like a glowing review of my friend's book. Other than that, I'm not clicking on that shit.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I did just make a new entry. Jen versus the National Post.
This is going to be a really, really weird new feud.
I mean, they actually, National Post has historically been the one newspaper that ran really positive reviews of all my books. I guess no longer.
They have never reviewed any of my books. So maybe we're in a feud.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the National Post has ever written. The one, I guess it's not Can't Lit, it's like All Lit. But the couple of things I'm thinking of is the open letter just to like,
oh yeah,
say that you can say whatever you want letter. I'm like, I don't know what that letter means.
Oh, we totally forgot rich people about letter. That letter.
No, that letter made no sense. I mean, there is can content related to the letter because, of course, infamous lover of open letters, Margaret Atwood did sign that letter.
She loves it.
She's like, she's a hard slut for open letters.
I read that thing and I was like, clearly none of these people's editors edited it because I didn't even, it said virtually nothing.
It said nothing. It was nonsense. That's all I kept thinking. I was like, this is literal nonsense.
Like, I don't have time for this. Like, in a pandemic when I'm like a single parent trying to parent my kid and homeschool my kid and get my work done and I work full time, this is what you people have made me spend 2 minutes reading. Come on now.
I also did read it and then I was like, was this anything? And turns out, I mean, it wasn't really.
It wasn't. Like, if you have an open letter, you have to have like some sort of action items of what you expect of the world to like happen. And it was just like, you had no action items because you're just saying you don't want critics or something. Like, it's just virtual nonsense.
People on Twitter are talking shit and we don't care for it.
Yeah. Well, because
previously when they did talk shit about us, we didn't hear about it, so it was fine.
Yeah, they were just doing it in the pub like normal people.
Yeah. From the only joy I got from that letter was tweeting Noam Chomsky to dick.
It was it Justin McElroy from CBC who was like, just for the record, Noam Chomsky also signed all these other things. He tweeted something like that.
And I just signed any letter.
yeah. Then I retweeted. I'm like, and I said, Noam Chomsky will sign anything. And I caught some trolls on that, man. They're like, Noam Chomsky is brilliant. And I'm like, and you know who? Do you know who actually clapped back at me for that one? Was my oldest nemesis. Did I just name her?
You named her.
That's your first time really saying it. That's a Ken Lit feud. But also, she's a writer.
You better, but also bleep that.
You can bleep that out. I will say that I got some hate on that from my oldest nemesis. My oldest, that's longest very standing funny. Nemesis.
Yeah. I love that I have to edit this in like 12 hours. And I'm going to have to bleep this shit out. It's fine.
Just that one part.
It's fine. It's 100% fine.
You can keep all the Noam Chomsky to dick parts.
Yeah, you can keep that shit. But
I had to work at Adbusters for 5 years, okay? Noam Chomsky, eat a dick. Keep that forever. Then I make it my ringtone.
You're going to call the Adbusters office and just leave that on the voicemail.
Yeah, I would love it.
You guys should know that during this whole Noam Chomsky conversation, Rosie's been dry heaving right beside me.
Yeah, she heard
it. Oh my god, if she barfs, we'll know. I mean, has Noam done... Sure, Noam's said some smart things in his life. But also, nobody knows who he is if they're not, like, adjacent to academia. The other day, someone else was making a joke about Noam Chomsky. I don't know. This is a few weeks ago. It could have been even around this time of the letter. And I was talking to my dad. And I was like, yeah, and then Noam Chomsky. And he was like, who's Noam Chomsky? And I was like, exactly. Yes.
Oh, my God. The only thing. Okay. We used to watch, Oscar and I used to watch this show called Troll Hunters, which is quite a good show.
And, oh, yeah. I'm familiar.
Yeah. And there was like a little gnome in it called Noam Chomsky, like a little garden gnome.
Well, and that's his name, funny.
Yeah, it was funny. And like Oscar thought it was hilarious. So anytime you say the word, the name Noam Chomsky to him, he laughs his head off because he thinks it's the garden gnome from Troll Hunters. So also, like, I think that's the best reaction.
There was a chimp. I can't remember too much about this. So I'm probably really talking out of school. But there was a chimp that I feel like they were teaching to sign. And the chimp's name was Nim Chimsky.
Pretty good.
Which obviously I love.
I mean, yes. All day. All day, all day.
Yeah. All day, all day. Okay, moving along. Are we reading? Are we not reading? Do we have things that we want to be reading? It's summer. I'm thinking about, I've talked a lot about how the idea of summer reads just means whatever you want to read. Like, it used to be, no, you have to read a paperback that you bought from the rack at the drugstore, but it could be whatever you want. So anybody, what you reading or not?
I haven't really been reading, except I have some new books that I'm going to be reading for the fall, which I'm very excited about. But I did read Normal People for the first time. And I was like, you know, I read it and I was like, these are some...
I mean, it didn't come out that long ago.
No, it was just really horny, and that's fine. It was fine. It was just like, you know, and then like the end, I don't know. I don't think this is a spoiler, but at the end, one of the protagonists gets into an MFA program and I'm like, don't do that. Like, why?
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my...
I mean, I read
reading.
It. Yeah. I read it when it came out. I watched the mini series, of course, because I love to watch television. It is my comfort food of choice. Yeah. Connell, hot Connell, and Connell's butt did get an Emmy nomination. So congratulations, Connell.
Congratulations. Next on my reading list,
Connell's gluteus maximus.
I mean, he's got a glitter butt. the book that I am going to be reading next, though, is How Much of These Hills is Gold by C. Pam Zhang, which was just, I believe, longlisted for the Booker. And I'm hella excited.
Oh, yeah, the Booker longlist. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, apparently, it's like a Western, but featuring a band of orphaned Chinese children set during a gold rush. And I'm like, this is all the things that I want.
Oh, wow. I love that. That sounds great.
Yeah. 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 Their parents die and their parents are like, you know, doing some gold rushy stuff and they have to navigate this world. And they're like three orphans. And I'm like, I love everything about this. I'm going to start reading it today. Anyway, Daniel, what about you? What are you reading?
I'm like trying to remember what I just ordered because there's one thing I want to shout out. But I also feel like, I think Dina has it, so I can jump off that. I have been reading like Next to Nothing, but I finally like broke that spell with Amber Dawn's latest poetry book.
My Art is Killing Me. What a great book that is.
That one I like consumed so hard and so fast. It was crazy how like I just pummeled through it. I was like, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the other book that broke that spell was Gillian Christmas's The Gospel of Breaking. So like just the two back to back have been.
I also read those two back to back. I don't remember which order.
I did as well.
But
they make sense. They make sense back to back.
They do. Well, and Amber Dawn edited Gillian's book, and yeah, there's definitely some good conversational connections. Yeah, I've 100%. Both of those books are top of my heap of things I would recommend till the end of time. Yeah, just both of them are incredible poets and human beings, and I love them with all my heart. And those books are incredible.
It was the greatest loss of the pandemic for me. I was supposed to be hosting their event, Gillian, yeah. Amber Dawn, and Vivek Shreya in Vancouver. And I was so flipping excited to do it. I had my outfit planned because obviously the outfit's a big deal for that event.
super huge.
Yeah. And then the pandemic came and we couldn't do it. And that was, I think, the hardest loss for me, honestly. Not the loss of like seeing my mother, just that event.
Yeah. I was trying to get them to come to Los Angeles, and they were, well, Amber Dawn was like, yeah, it's on my list. I'm like, get over here. I mean, she had already just been here for their other book with Justin Tucharm, the anthology Hustling Verse.
Yeah.
But yeah, those two books, and then the two things that I'm excited about within the next couple weeks, because I'm like excited that I'm actually reading books again. A chapbook that I just ordered from Therese Mason Pierre.
I just read it. It is so good.
I'm new to her work, but I've like been following her Instagram and Twitter forever. She's like got great makeup art and all that, all the things I love. So I'm excited to read more of her work. And I have Billy Ray Belcourt's newest book coming either today or tomorrow, actually. The History of My Brief Body, which comes out weirdly in America first for the first time in book Canadian book history.
I know, it's so strange.
Yeah, isn't that like scheduled for like September, or like when is that scheduled for?
I think it's scheduled for August here and July in the US. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I also read Manifest is the name of the chapbook by Therese Mason Pierre, and it is it's extremely good. Gap Riot Press, you can order one yourself. And I also have Billy Ray Belcourt's A History of My Brief Body on my to read list of exciting things to read. I'm also glad Jen brought up Vivek Shreya's book, because I feel like the subtweet is such a great book to pick up right now.
It's so good. It's so contemporary.
It just, it feels like a summer read to me, the kind of book that you can take with you and you can sit outside and live with it and read it. It's so enjoyable. It's got lots of really funny parts in it.
And if you love, so funny. If you love Vivek's like voice in general, because I feel like Vivek's voice is so clear in that book. Like, so
yeah, for sure.
I can hear her telling us this story.
And it's great. One of those stories that is told from two POVs, and you're just completely involved in each of their perspectives. So definitely.
I have to read on that. I had read an earlier version, so I have to reread I got a copy of the hard copy because I was very excited about.
That's very exciting. I miss
hard copy. But yeah,
the TV show hard copy. You miss hard copy. No one under the age. No one knows what hard copy is except us. Like hard copy and A Current Affair.
I read an earlier version of that book, and I'm excited to see that's one thing I really like about being friends with writers, is like reading the earlier versions of drafts and stuff and then seeing where the book ends up.
Yeah, that is a fun, very a fun, fun privilege. That's great.
I want to say, I want to shout out. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, it's like I'm really. I started reading it. I haven't finished it yet, but it's turning out so far really great. It's Happy Hour by Marlo Granados, and it's like one of the it's one of the books put out by Flying Books, edited by Martha Sharp and Emily Keeler, and it's so far turning out super great. It's like the protagonist is like a kind of hipster Asian girl, and I'm like, I don't relate at all. So I highly recommend, I think it's coming out in September. I highly recommend that people pick that one up because it seems awesome so far.
Oh, right. And Flying Books, very exciting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, yeah. Super, yeah. Super cool. Very exciting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like I read a lot like during the original part of kind of lockdown, quarantine, whatever you want to call it. And then I stopped reading right around the time that I had to go back to work. And I didn't read for like 2 months. And before that, I feel like I read so many things. Like I read Mallory Tater's book, The Birth Yard, which is great. I was kind of catching up on stuff. I read Michael Christie's Greenwood, which I also really liked. And the last book that I read at that time was Eva Holland's Nerve, which is a super interesting book about fear, but also like a personal story. And yeah, it made me think of Daniel because of Daniel's podcast about fear.
Sorry, say their name again.
Nerve is the title of the book.
Nerve, yes. I've been meaning to buy that because I follow her on Twitter, and I followed her specifically because I was like, oh, for future experts for I'm Afraid That.
Yeah, I was almost going to suggest it until I then saw the two of you interact online, and I was like, oh, this is, I don't need to intervene. Like, they got this covered.
Yeah.
Daniel's on the like, case.
I literally meant to order it, and I thank you for reminding me. I'm like putting on my to purchase list right now.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're really, really gonna like it. Yeah. And the only other book I read at that time was the poetry collection Tender by Lai Wan, which came out with Talon Books. And it's just a really beautiful collection. There's some art as well incorporated. It's really beautiful. And and then two books from Nightwood Editions, Kyla Jameson's Body Count and Curtis LeBlanc's Birding in the Glassy Age of Isolation. Both very different books, but very, yeah. I mean, Nightwood is always publishing great poetry. So I think, we should do this again in the fall and talk about fall books. That would be fun. But I have, and I have other stuff on my to-read list. Like I'm finally, this is not canlit, but I'm finally going to read Valley of the Dolls. There was a copy in the bargain section and I was like, what's this?
Yeah!
Seems fun. This is like a summer fun choice.
I believe I read that when I was like 13 or 14. And
it feels on brand for me right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we were talking about Flowers in the Attic when we were off.
Yeah.
Mike.
We were.
And we were. Yeah. Not gonna tell you people why.
Try and figure out what kind of gossip involves Flowers in the Attic. Just think about it. Let your brains wander. And my other like at the same time I picked up Valley of the Dolls, I came out I think last year or even the year before. Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up with Me, the graphic novel by Mariko Tamaki and illustrated by Rosemary Valerio O'Connell. And I was like, this is what I need to kind of kickstart my reading again. Like I need to get in there and read a graphic novel. That's gonna make my brain start functioning. And then my other to read pile, John Elizabeth Stinsey's Vanishing Monuments, which I have in my pile. Yeah. And I have a copy of Desmond Cole's The Skin Bat. We're In. And June Bat. Yes. Oh, and the only other thing I started that I've been going so slowly, again, not canlit, but Samantha Irby's Wow, No Thank You, because honestly, I just need it to last. Like, I need the joy, the humor, the humanity of how fucking great she is to, like, guide me through the rest of summer. So I've been
also
reading just
best
at a time.
Title. Best title ever.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, yeah. And then the other poetry book in my to-read pile is Kinesia Lubrin's The Disgriffist.
Oh, I have
which I have. Yeah.
It's so good.
So I can't wait. It's on right now. It's actually on top. I just finished the Atessa Moshfegh, the new novel that she put out, Death in Her Hands. And gosh, she's so weird.
Look how excited. Look. Did you guys just hear how excited we are about books right now? Everyone's so excited about books right now.
I don't know. Her books are so weird.
That's what I hope for. I want people to say that about my work.
I want that. Me too. I want people to say that about my work. I don't know. Everyone quit listening to me. Who knows? Who knows what I'm talking about? I just write, work in a bookstore, teach. I don't know anything. Okay.
I don't know. Do any of us know anything? Whatever.
I don't think. I don't know. I wish I knew.
I mean, all I do is mumble sing Britney Spears songs. I really don't know anything at all.
I will.
That's true. That is all you do.
One thing I want to ask is, like, speaking of that, is has any of, like, the weirdest music been popping into your head this entire pandemic?
100%.
Like, every time I wake up with a new song where I'm like, why does the soundtrack to Chicago, like, why is the soundtrack to Chicago, like, in my head? I don't understand. And, like, not even the songs I like.
Do you know what was weird? When I was going through, like, a really stressful time a few years ago, every time I was at work in the morning, a song from Chicago would come out in my brain. And it was that, like, He Had It Coming song.
Yeah, that's
great. He Had It Coming. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He Had It Coming. I mean, he only had himself to blame. Cell Block Tango. That's what it's called. Thank you. I couldn't remember the title. But like it was every single day on the exact same day of the week. So other days of the week, it did not come into my head that day only. And I was like, this pattern is creepy. I need to get this out of my head.
The only songs that have been popping into my head are the songs that Oscar listens to, which are Roblox rap songs.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he knows all the words and he'll play them on like our Wi-Fi speakers and he'll rap along to it. And it's not pleasant. That's all.
That's
Roblox
so
rap song.
I'm into it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's the other cool. Weird thing I wanted to say about pandemic is that quite randomly, I've been talking to my dog in Italian and a bunch of my Italian keeps coming back.
What? That's weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Like how good is the Italian that's coming out?
It's not great, but it's like I will remember like full phrases where I'm like, we have an upstairs like area that's where she like goes and pees and poos. And I just remember yelling at her like to go upstairs in Italian. I was like, huh. I'm like, I forgot that I knew what upstairs was, or like go up. And then like for her like we play ball and I asked her to like give me the ball in Italian. And it's like, I was like, oh, I know a lot of it. Like, cause I used to speak it fluently when I was a kid, when I was there for several months and it all fell away. And then all of a sudden in this pandemic, it's like just weirdly talking to my dog in Italian has been a thing.
That's wild.
I mean, I think it's great.
I've also been following the like small town my dad's from on Facebook while they were going, because they were ahead of us in the pandemic and they created a page to be like, how is everyone? And so I was just reading that and that kind of, I think, rejigged it.
Sorry, Rosie's barking at something. Something has upset her.
I knew that it was her bark. I just know it so well.
I should yell at her in Italian. I should yell at her in Chinese.
Yeah. Honestly, you should.
I should, yeah. She's upset. Someone's checking their mail and it's not cool.
She's so funny. You both have great dogs that I really enjoy.
Yeah, I feel like both of our dogs are like not good dogs. I'm doing this. I'm like, not good dogs by any other people's metrics.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good by my estimation.
They have cat personalities. Well,
does anyone have any final thoughts?
Like before I die?
Where you're just like, any statements that you want to make? You just want to be like, defund the police. I like ice cream.
Yeah.
Otters are the best animal. You know, something like that.
I mean, I can co-sign on all of those.
Yeah, those are good ones.
They're all pretty good. Okay, they're thanks. I respect that. Oh my God, you know what? Yesterday was exciting for me. I saw two skunks, and I actually sometimes get worried. This neighborhood used to be like very full of skunks, and I started to get worried that the coyotes were demolishing them. But I think they're okay. And both of them were kind of like juveniles. Like they weren't huge. They were kind of tiny, but their butts were still big and doing that wiggly thing that they do. And I was like, yeah, I'm on board.
There's been a lot of skunks by my house in my neighborhood also. So they're fine.
I feel like it's that time. It's that time.
They live in our, they also live in our backyard. There's like a little area they live in. And the coyotes also live in our backyard.
Wait, is your backyard like a fight scene from West Side Story? Because
there's been like very intense times where I'm like walked, like woke up in the middle of the night and just the coyote like straight up looked at me like from the backyard. And I was like inside the kitchen, truly in like my underwear and like, what? And it just like looked at me like, yeah, I'm in your backyard. This is our place.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, that's your place.
I mean,
you live here now.
Yeah, go for it. And then now, like a lot of geckos, lizards.
Ooh, and really?
Yeah, there's so many.
That's
now.
Cool. They're so cute.
I haven't like hung out with a gecko since I was like my sister used to live in Singapore. Since I like was in Asia, I love geckos. They're cute.
They're very cute.
Yeah, they're really cute.
Yeah,
they're really little cuties.
Yeah,
they're even better. So,
is what I'm saying.
I was just gonna say, Daniel, you need to teach them to do their job.
You need to do it in Italian.
That's maybe that
good point.
I have to learn what mosquito is in Italian. It's probably just mosquito.
It's probably like a mosquito.
Yeah, where to get the L at the end.
Wait, were you and I talking about that thing where on Twitter people were making fun of Italian accents, and then some Italians got mad about it?
No, but I do enjoy whenever Italians get mad at.
It's so funny. I was like, okay.
Okay, but and wait. Okay, because I was out walking with Rosie and Oscar, and my neighborhood, of course, is Daniel's old neighborhood, and there's a lot of Italian families here. Mm-hmm. And I was standing on someone's like sort of strip of lawn between their sidewalk and like the road, and I was standing there for too long, and he started yelling at me in Italian, and I was like. And then his wife started yelling at him saying, yeah, she's like, Enzo, they're our neighbors. Why are you being such an asshole? And I was like, oh my God,
I love her. Enzo, pull it together, you fuck.
Yeah, and then she looks at me. She's like, it's okay, dear. And I'm like, thanks. It's okay. I'll just go. It's fine.
I love this wife. First off, that is like such a classic Italian wife behavior, and it makes me really happy.
Also, the amount of like Enzos I know in Burnaby is very.
I was gonna say growing up in Trail, there were not that many Enzos, but then in Vancouver, way more Enzos. Why is it so popular here?
It's also it's like up, it's a family thing where like my family has like a lot of Guidos, and it's like
yeah,
it's
they do.
Everyone, literally. I mean that name is based off actual Italian names of Guido, but
yes, I get what you're saying. Yes,
and
yes, sorry.
Also, you're making me laugh, and I have to pee. but it's like you name your child, like your first son, after your grandpa.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like there's a lot of like Enzos because there was like a grandpa who was an Enzo.
Yeah, my brother's name. My brother's name is Andrew, but he was named after my dad's dad. But his name was Adorando, and nobody wanted to use that name. So they like anglicized it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish my brother's name was fucking Adorando. Also, my Nona.
Either I do.
It's so good. Also, my Nona always would leave drop the A off as like her pet name. So she would just go, oh, Dorando. And it was so cute.
Yeah. Those Italian names are good.
It was adorable. So cute. Yeah, they're so good. Today, this is unrelated to anything, but I tried on all my swimsuits. Because I'm fun. And that's what I do for fun. But I forgot that I had taken swimsuits that both my grandmothers had made.
Really? Like they made them?
Yeah. Both my grandmothers were seamstresses in different ways. Like one was more self-taught. One was more like, I mean, they both kind of were, but one was a professional seamstress. And both my grandmas had made swimsuits. And so I have one of each. One is a navy blue bikini that's like a high-waisted bikini, and the other one is like a tube top one piece.
I'm never
getting rid of them. Yeah, they're both super cute. Anyway, I've been really happy. I love having dead people close. So anyway, that's where we're gonna sign off. Do you have anything else you want to say to people? I mean, whatever. You can find us on the internet. We're at cantlit.ca. You can find us on Twitter at cantlit. You can find us on Facebook at cantlit. I haven't really been looking at Facebook because it was upsetting to me, but I will probably update this episode there to be responsible. Yeah, we're all writing books, so in 2 to 3 years, please buy them. Okay.
3 to 5 years for me. Give me time.
Yeah. No, it's a novel. I'm going to need 5 years. That's the minimum.
It took me 17 years to write my last short story collection. No, 16. So this will be out in 16 years. So I'll find you then. Poetry book might come out before that, but it's going to be about 16. So, I'll be 56. I'll be getting that book straight out, right in the world. Well, what a joy to talk to you both again.
It's very nice.
From afar. Yeah, it was really nice. It was really fun.
Our secret gossip sesh was so good.
It was so good. I can't wait to have another one in 10 seconds. Okay, listen, listeners. I'm sorry you don't get to be in the inner sanctum, but we love you. We respect you. We hope you're doing okay. And... please retweet. All right. I love you both.
Love you.
And
love that you.
Is gonna be the end. This is the end. This is the end of the podcast.
Bye-bye.
This is the end. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.